Eternal Father, as we begin this first Sabbath service of a new year, we do so in the spirit of dedication as well as appreciation. Thou hast brought us here. Thou hast opened the gate of the year. We thank Thee that we are alive and well and willing to come into this sanctuary. Make this but a presage of the greatest, richest experiences in corporate worship that we have ever enjoyed in this church. That in this year we may not only live, but that we may adore for Thy glory. Bless us now, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. ...1974... has been a sobering, complacency-shaking year in human history. Never in human history has there been a transfer of wealth as dramatically from the haves to the haves not. Billions of dollars have gone into the coffers of nations, large proportions of whom can hardly read and write. We have seen values dramatically change. We have watched the price of gold go up vertically. We have seen hardships of famine that we have become so accustomed to claim the lives of millions of people with hardly a thought and with hardly a shudder. We have come out of the war in Southeast Asia, a war that has continued unabated. And most talk of it has slipped to page 15 in our newspapers. But just as many people hurting, and just as many people dying, for whom we are hardly concerned. We have seen the Pandora's box of political chicanery burst wide open. And we have seen moving, benumbed, a kaleidoscope of political graft. Evasion of the law, downright falsification that has never been seen in a modern country. We have also witnessed the spread of the gospel by Seventh-day Adventist missions on an unprecedented scale. 100 years ago, we have been told that we would see 1,000 converted in a day. In 1974, we saw 10,000. We have looked for the time when the Spirit of God will be poured out in His fullness, and we have seen the Spirit of God poured out in fullness. We have seen the
fortifications of heathenism crumble. In the land of my birth, tens of thousands of people are accepting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where when I was a little boy, I couldn't even say tens. Threes and fives would be accepting. And still some of us look forward to some dramatic time in the future. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We live in those times. We sometimes think that God has moved away from the affairs of men, but He hasn't. He has not resigned. He doesn't plan to abdicate. He is in politics. We do well to contemplate that highly dramatic thought. In our lesson today, we read from Daniel 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones. The holy ones. Not the crooks and the grafters. Not the politicians and the planners of political machines. But by the demand of the watchers and the holy ones, to the intent that the living, the ones who are alive and can look back over what has happened, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and setteth up and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. The basest of men. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Quisling, Laval, I think that's as near current history as I need come. And you can go back through the centuries, and the living can see that in every age the basest of men have been there. And setteth up over it the basest of men. Not the bestest, but the basest. The most wicked. The most conniving. The most selfish. And as one surveys history of the world, I started this week again a world history. Read through and keep fresh. Main pegs upon which time hangs and history is articulated. It's not a pretty picture. We sometimes think the Most High has abdicated, but He hasn't. He ruleth in the kingdoms of men. In order to understand this, we must bear in mind the way God is. God is love. I begin all my theology from that simple three-word declaration that gives me the greatest insight. God is love. All right? What is love? Love is the principle that maintains ideal relationships. So God never ceases to exercise the principles that maintain ideal relationships. One atom to another atom, to a molecule, to an element, to the structural substance of this planet, to every other planet, the electrical forces that maintain those articulated segments of matter in their relationships, the element of life that he has put in plant and every living thing, the relationships that exist man to man to the elements in which he lives, man to God, the relationship of those elements to man, not only cosmic but stellar. Love has set in operation all these relationships. With love there can be no compulsion. There is never forcing. Freedom of choice is an extension of this principle. And so every moral agent in this planet and in the universe can exercise choice with which God never interferes. Now into this arrangement, this orderly arrangement, there penetrated an alien principle called hate, the opposite of love, the destroyer of relationships. Every relationship is destroyed by hate. And God, being love unchangeable, granting freedom that will not be retracted, was confronted with the problem of hate that leads to destruction, war, and ultimately death. And into that maelstrom of conflict, God poured forth the richest gift of his Son. Not a mighty conqueror, not a ruler with armies at his beck and call, but a helpless babe, moved at the whim of a person, to demonstrate the outworking once again of this principle of love in the kingdoms of this world. And to demonstrate against his person the hostility of right against wrong and of darkness against light. And to move through all those storms and stresses, proving that love provided the finest relationships and the most lasting. And all history read in this perspective demonstrates God in perfect freedom, in unchanging love, still ruling, making the wrath of men praise him. This was illustrated in the story of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Jerusalem was in flames. The people of God were in captivity. an alien trod the sacred precincts of what had once been the temple of Jehovah. The cry of the orphan was the echo that remained of the praises of the Levite choirs. And to Ezekiel as to Habakkuk, the question was, how do the wicked prosper? To Ezekiel was given the picture of a throne, high and lifted up, and on the throne one like the Son of Man. Around the throne a rainbow, the throne located on a sapphire platform. To the Hebrew, with an insight, to the Bible scholar with study, all these speak the language of heaven. The one like the Son of Man is the incarnate. The rainbow is the emblem of an unchanging covenant. The throne is a finger that points to rulership. And the sapphire platform speaks of the unchanging law written on tables of sapphire. From that throne, on that unshakable platform, with that unchangeable covenant, the Son of Man directs the wheels and interplay of human events, the wheels within wheels, the play and interplay of human events. The Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. And through the shock and the counter-shock of human conflict, God is accomplishing his purposes. How are those purposes accomplished? Certain truths are underlined that may disturb. Long ago, the servant of the Lord said, it is not wise to vote in political parties, for we do not know those for whom we are voting. Interesting, isn't it? We are responsible for the people we put into office. We vote for one who accepts bribes, who plots and plans to take from the state all kinds of funds. And we think of him as Mr. Clean. See, long ago, 100 years ago, it's not wise to do this. And so the shock and the counter-shock of political events shake us into a certain fixed philosophy. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's a more excellent way. How much more evidence do we need for the veracity of God's word? What are we waiting for? The Most High rules, and through this shock wave of society, directs us into ideas and principles. This year, the pastoral staff have conducted many funerals. There were those on the first Sabbath of this year, 1974 rather, who were worshiping in this place. They now rest in peace in Forest Lawn and other places. They're gone. How many times have I heard, I never thought that he would go first or she would go first. But now he's gone. And through the shock waves of the effects of life and death and time and eternity, God is pushing us into thinking. One day, my turn.
One day I'm going to do what is right. One day I'm going to pay that call. One day I'm going to make that wrong right. One day I'm going to ask for forgiveness and apologize. One day I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. One day I'm going to pray. One day. One day. And then the pastor stands at the head of the grave, and there are beautiful flowers, and he gropes for words of comfort, and what he finds is in the Word of God, 3,000 years old, in the Psalms and in the prophets. And he prays for consolation for those who are left. And then the flowers are moved, and the casket lowered, and the sod relaid, and the marker put in place. One day, you're going to start doing this. One day, you're going to start reading the Bible every day. One day, you're going to pay that missionary visit. And one day and all the days that follow, you never will. Neither will I. Just as simple as that. And through the shock waves of life and death and time and eternity, the Most High rules. And God is in the affairs of men, seeking to get the intelligent that both Daniel and Revelation call the wise. The wise will understand. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You know, when Christ talked, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he came to the Isle of Patmos 70 years later, he said, he that hath an ear to hear. Even if you're half deaf, and your hearing is getting less and less, listen. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have all sorts of affairs in church. In a large society like this, each one interdependent, we have officers. Decisions have to be made. The board has to vote. Plans have to be laid. Somebody has got to decide. Mistakes will be made. It's impossible to do anything without making mistakes. May I invite you to forgive. Allow the Spirit of God to exorcise the spirit of bitterness, of harshness, of criticism. When you watch your fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ trying to do what is right and failing, pray for him. Pray for him. Long years ago, I learned that in the classroom. I've set up young men, young women to make recitation. For one of any 500 reasons, they fumble and stumble and forget and stub their toes and make mistakes. And the young of Homo sapiens have a very weird sense of humor. Somebody makes a mistake and they laugh. The person who makes the mistake wants to weep. And the instructor sits in the back row and does what? Well, I'll tell you what I have done. I've prayed for that young person. No use laughing at him. He's doing his best. Even to make a fool of himself. But you don't help him by laughing. You don't help him by tearing him down at that stage of his life. You've got to do it objectively. another time, another place, in other circumstances, in a different mood. Pray for him. And say, Lord, help him. Put the words into his mouth. If he hasn't prepared and this is a lesson to him, help him learn it. If he has prepared and has got stage fright, help him to get over it. Can we take this philosophy into all our relationships? Jesus did. He who sits on that throne, on that sapphire platform, surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels, says, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. Make a list. Make a little box or a notebook. Put down there persons for whom you should pray. If you want to make a list, as Christ said, call it my enemies. List them down below. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. And you will discover that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Our little kingdoms, in family, in society, in business. The dynasties and the plans and the policies that we set up, Most High still rules. Setteth up whomsoever he will. And he's ready to take rule of our lives this year. There are those on our books for whom I pray. When I sit on the platform, I don't know you all by any means. But I know a few more of you than I did 12 months ago. I'm trying. But I see them, they're not here. Week after week, they're not here. And I say, Lord, I hope that in some other church, may they have some word. I want them to be here. I want them to learn loyalty and devotion, and worship, cooperation with God. You join me in praying with them? That we may accomplish in this church what God wants us to. In love, in fellowship, in warmth, in cooperation. That this church can be the church of the open doors and the open arms and the open heart and the open smile. Many will come in here that are not worshiping with us now. I pray every day for them, every day. Do we look from the shock and the turmoil and the war and the bloodshed and the famine that we see in the world and the nations? We see in our hearts sometimes too. A famine for a kind word in our families. The shocks of conflict and hostility. The divorces that took place in 74 that need never have taken place if the parties had approached each other on their knees, prayed to God and studied His Word. Of the business enmities that have shattered relationships need never have been if Jesus Christ had been the platform and the foundation and if the Most High had been allowed to rule. We have seen the Spirit of God poured out in places. We've seen it here. We have watched souls transformed who on the first Sabbath of 1974 didn't know anything about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're here today. They've made decisions. Pray for them. Pray for many more like them, that they may come in week by week through these doors into this sanctuary and find Jesus and Him crucified and find among us loving, kindly, fallible, weak, failing, but trying, devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. You want this? Is this your drive and aim? God is still ruling. He rules in the world and he's ready to rule in your heart, in your life, in your mind, in your family. Sometimes it seems that the basest of men win, but the Most High still rules. And one day he will say, "It is finished. I've made all things new. Come, ye blessed of my Father." Today we are to say, "Come, Father, Son, Spirit. Come into our minds, come into our hearts, come into our thinking, come into our philosophies, come into our planning, come into the little kingdoms over which we rule, over which we have jurisdictions. Set thy throne right in my heart. May the principles of love and fellowship and accord and peace and joy take the place of independence and hostility, selfishness and anger. Jesus waits. The Spirit waits. The Father waits. Heaven is opened for the cascades of love and grace to infuse and fill and drench us. Choice, the options ever open to us. God never forces. He only invites. Let us pray. Eternal Father, establish speedily thy rule in the kingdoms of men. May the nations of the earth bow in adoration finally to our Lord and God omnipotent. But while we wait for that day, Eternal Father, may the Most High rule in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, that his principles, his love, he himself might fill us all in all. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen.